Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan London, and if this is your first Geekscape, well, you really picked a doozy to jump in on. This is our special on The Flash. We're going to be spoiling the heck out of the brand new movie, The Flash, starring Ezra Miller, Michael Keaton, many more people that we're not going to spoil it here in the intro, but we'll definitely be talking about it in the episode. We waited a long time for this Flash movie. We read as it went through iteration, revision, and implementation. And what is it that we ended up getting in the end? We're going to talk about that. I've described it as a mixed bag, but there's so much in this movie I really enjoy. And we'll talk about that. And there's so much in this movie that it sometimes makes me scratch my head. But you know what? I'm glad we got a movie like this because it gives us a ton to talk about here on Geekscape. So again, if this is your first Geekscape, like, you really picked a great one to jump in on, pretty much only if you've seen The Flash, though. Audiences didn't entirely turn out for it, though. So if you haven't watched the movie but are intending to, you might want to put a pin in this episode and go check out some of the other stuff we have in the last 16 years on this feed. I did not do a Geekscape last week. I've been too busy. It did not come together. And it's okay because there's so much that you can catch up on. I was doing two a week for a bit, and everything from video games, like a conversation with the actress Patricia Somerset, who played Zelda in Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. She was on the show. We had the directors of this brand new Robert Englund documentary on the show. I loved talking to them. Just tons of writers and artists and video game people and actors and comic book creators are on this show, and I try and do it every week, and I have been doing it for 16 years, and I thought I could get one together last week, and the schedule just didn't work out with the guest, and I didn't want to just throw something at y'all that wasn't worthy of the feed, so I jumped it. But we are going to be back on track, and I'm working on some amazing guests as we are on the road to Comic-Con. And Comic-Con is lining up to be awesome this year. We're going to be back at the Geekscape booth, 3919 on the floor. I'm really trying hard to get you guys a new t-shirt design. I'm super excited about the t-shirt design. It is comic book themed, which is what I've been trying to do for a little bit, to get a comic book themed shirt. And I also have a panel on Saturday. I can't share the details until Comic-Con releases the schedule, but I'm so excited about the people I have on the panel and what we're talking about. And I'm still working to get one or two more people on the panel, but they've given it a prime slot on Saturday. There is, and it's like in one of those big rooms that are like two rooms smushed together, because I got some pretty fun names on the panel, and I'm excited to talk to them. And then, of course, if you can't make it to San Diego, well, you're in the right spot if you're subscribing to the Geekscape podcast, because I'm going to put that panel right here on the feed, and you'll be able to hear it probably the week right after San Diego, as soon as I rise from the coma that I have post San Diego. And I'm like, okay, my body's starting to work again. I'm awake. And as I recover, I'll put up the Geekscape podcast for San Diego Comic-Con and then our panel. And you'll be a part of it. If you're subscribed, you'll be a part of it. Share it with your friends. You know, just be a part of the celebration. You know, if that's not enough for you, you know, we got like 30 shows across the Geekscape network, ranging from everything to like pro wrestling, to music, to horror movies, to 80s throwback, to nostalgia. We have a couple of 80s shows at this point, and a couple like cinematic comic book movie podcasts at this point. And they're all for you guys, and they're all free. So the least you can do is like share it, hit all those stars and write reviews and things like that. Okay, I'm not going to delay anymore. We've got a pretty awesome Flash special coming up right now. This movie is so interesting, at least to me. Maybe it's not to my guests. We got Ian Kerner in the wings. He's going to talk a bit about The Flash. I definitely wanted him on the episode. And then, because this is a true crisis event, I've got Christian Blatt and Garrett Briones, who did a great job on the Across the Spider-Verse episode, and they're back. So I've got Ian and Garrett and Christian, and all three of them are going to be talking to me. I'm just going to take a back seat, and they're all going to be talking The Flash. It's a true crossover event right here on Geekscape. And here it goes. Awesome Geekscapists, we're talking The Flash, and this is your last warning. If you have not seen this brand new The Flash movie from Warner Brothers that we've been waiting on for a couple years, we've been seeing trailers for a while, and we finally got a Flash movie. We finally got like a Flashpoint semi-slash crisis movie. We're going to talk all about it. There will be major spoilers, so this is your last warning. You're watching the Geekscape The Flash special, so turn this off if you do not want it spoiled for you. Keep watching and listening, as the people in the chat room are doing, watching right here, leaving comments. Go ahead and keep listening and watching if you either don't care or you're like, bring it on. I saw the movie. I want to talk with you guys, and I'm excited. So let's bring in our conversationalists, our panelists. I'm starting with the Human Encyclopedia, the Human Comic Book Encyclopedia, Ian Kerner, Geekscape mainstay. But that's not enough. He's the host of the Marvel Movie Talk podcast and the Geekscape Book Club, Christian Blatt.
Hello.
And we can't be talking Batman without Jonathan's very own ward. I was Ian's ward, and now I have a ward. And the child endangerment's a part of it. Garrett Briones. He's
that's here. A very interesting lineage. That's a very interesting lineage. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you follow in the footsteps of me, and who I follow in the footsteps of Ian.
Okay. And that's how, and that's I how look works. At Garrett as my Burt Ward, so it all comes together.
I like that. I like that a lot.
All right, let's just rip the Band-Aid. I think Garrett and Christian know what I thought of the movie. I do not know what Ian thought of the movie. It's an interesting movie. You don't have to go one way or another, as I hinted at or basically just told you in the intro. To me, this movie's a mixed bag. The first hour I have some trouble with based on the tone. It's a little too silly. A little too Bill and Ted on the performance of one of the Barrys. And I had a tough time taking it seriously. But the second that the Michael Keaton stuff pops up and we start multiverse hopping in earnest with a goal, and it brings a little bit of some earnestness and some seriousness into the film, I started to really appreciate it. And then I love the last 30 minutes of this movie as a full celebration of all these characters and stories. Is it fan service? As a lot of people have said, that it's just blatant fan service. Yeah, but guess what?
So what?
I'm a fan. Sometimes I enjoy getting serviced in this fashion, and it wasn't spoiled for me. So I was super excited, and I really enjoyed a lot of the things I was seeing on screen in that last 30 minutes. So guys, starting with Ian, what did you all think of the movie?
Just let me say real quick before I get into that sure. I'm glad you made that comment on fan service. Like, fan service is a way for people that aren't fans to complain about stuff they don't get. But you know what? You're going to make a superhero movie. You're going to do a little fan service. It's fine. These things have giant fans. And no matter what you say, fan service really shouldn't take away from any of enjoyment for someone that isn't a fan, but it adds so much more for those that are.
I straight up popped when I saw that Superman. And I thought it was going to be some version of some iteration of a Brandon Routh. And when that camera turned around and I saw fucking Nicolas Cage's Superman,
I lost my shit. For me, George Reeves, I was like, okay, never expected that.
Oh, I love that opening on George Reeves. I would have loved a Fleischer Superman or any appreciation of the animated stuff that DC's done so well. But holy shit, I love the George Reeves stuff.
So cool to have Christopher Reeve with Helen Slater.
Loved it.
I mean, literally, that was always my giant issue as a kid watching Supergirl. I'm like, how do you have this and not have him at least show up at the end? They're never on screen together, and we got them on screen together. You know,
that was beautiful.
That was just such a huge moment for me.
Look, Geek Saves, we're talking about a crisis event that happens later in the movie, and a lot of great stuff happens before that. A lot of questionable stuff happens before that, but that stuff really made me super excited. like as the movie wrapped up?
I'll give you a mixed bag on the movie. I like the movie a lot. I actually thought that across the board, the performances were fantastic. I thought Ezra Miller in multiple roles, amazing. Keaton was great. Affleck was, I love Affleck in that Batman role. You know, I thought that was great. The Gal Gadot cameo, a little awkward, but the Lasso stuff I loved. You know, it was funny. I get what you're saying about Goofy, you know, early in that movie, but it was a fun tone for who this Flash is.
So I and thought where that was he goes.
Yes.
And where he goes is yes. huge and beautiful and tragic.
Yes, yes. I have my issues with some of the things about the movie. You know, I was always worried about, you know, the inciting incident. I mean, look, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too in the weeds here. But, you know, the whole initial idea of Flashpoint is that the pre-crisis Barry that we had, yeah, you know, the old Barry, like, didn't have any of these issues with his parents being dead. And the idea is Zoom goes back and kills his mother because Barry's already this hero that this happens to, right? The interesting thing that the Arrowverse did is they took that as this given thing from the get-go. And I don't know if how many people have actually watched the Arrowverse Flash show.
Which all is of us.
Yeah, and the show's, for the most part, it has some lulls over the course of it, but for the most part, it's really solid.
I agree. You know, I think it was the best of the CW shows.
It has the board. Problem that they all have of 22 episodes. You're going to have some lulls here and there. And I think, what season was it? Maybe around season 5 or 6. I think it was off a little bit after several seasons of being fantastic. But I mean, one of the things it does right away is you find out that Barry becomes the Flash sooner when you ultimately realize that it's actually Zoom who's acting as his mentor, who's making him become the Flash sooner just so that he can get his powers back because he's already done the Flashpoint. You know, and Barry's not, that's not supposed to happen. And they do their version of Flashpoint and Barry going back and trying to fix it. But that's the key, is that Barry goes back to fix something that was already thrown off by Zoom. So I go into this movie thinking, knowing there isn't any Zoom. And honestly, the twist in the movie makes, let's just say right now, it makes no sense.
Sure.
Okay. But I do like that you got a version of Zoom, Dark Flash, what have you. The glowing eyes, that's Flashpoint Zoom, right?
And I was calling him, I called him Zoom, and he's, sadly, he's
they're
a Barry.
Dark Flash.
He's a Barry who, he's the younger Barry who doesn't have the experience with the Justice League. He doesn't have an experience with Superman being the model superhero. And he insists that he can still save his mother and continues to go back until he is broken and demented and twisted and evil. Yeah. And he becomes a bit of the villain in the movie that creates the problem that causes our JLA Snyderverse Barry to get lost.
What frustrates me is he doesn't even exist without him knocking Barry into his timeline. So that's, and they make a line about it being, you know, a paradox, but it's too much of a paradox. There was a way to do that without him being the inciting incident.
Also, the mother he's trying to save isn't his, it's the other Barry. And I thought we were, and we never actually see the Barry's mom. We never resolve who killed her. And in my opinion, she stabbed right. herself in the kitchen. Because her husband...
That's my Zoom point. They just go with this random violence. Her husband's out, so someone decides to rob the house then. So with him in the home, they didn't decide to rob that house.
So you're telling me if we're on Livingston's home,
right?
She doesn't die. Barry doesn't go to that's school right. to become, you know, to work in criminology all and become that. The Flash. Like, exactly. That doesn't happen? All okay, that. So she stabbed herself. So she slipped and stabbed herself, according to this movie. I wanted a resolution scene where younger Barry was so demented and his mother's fine. She never died. He actually goes back and causes it because he's so twisted. And they just never resolve the death of the mother. And I thought that is such a linchpin.
You know, it's one thing if they lived in Gotham and this looks sort of like, oh, they just robbed the house. But they live in this nice, idyllic neighborhood in Central City. And yeah, someone just randomly robbed the house.
Well, but to be fair, the movie never shows you the scene. Like, exactly. there's no one there by the time he gets down there. I think, you know, they've even said in interviews, talking as if they're going to get a sequel, which we'll hold out hope.
There's no way. The sequel's called Brave, The Brave and the Bold. Well,
they were going, I think the implication was if you do any sort of Flash adaptation, it's going to be Ea Barthon, the Reverse Flash, but I do think the movie should have addressed that because it did leave that so open ended. But yeah. I think they were going to go with that. But As I said, you know, they put many ducks in a row for a sequel that we'll see if those ducks get to flourish.
I'm not kidding. The whole linchpin is the Barry is like, oh, if my mother had just had this ingredient for dinner and my father hadn't had to go to the store to get it for her, she would still be alive and not dead. So I'm going to go back in time, and the only thing I'm going to do is bring home this tomato soup or whatever it is.
He just puts it in her cart.
He doesn't even bring it home. He's just going to put it in her cart so she doesn't forget it. So the father doesn't have to leave the house and she doesn't die. Go back and lock the fucking door. Go back and just take a Ron Livingston cardboard cutout and put it in the window so whoever's going to come and stab her keeps moving on, because we all know that Ron Livingston is the ultimate security device for home invasion. Like,
I mean,
really?
How about go back and, I mean, I guess that's sort of the problem, but like his whole thing is, what's he doing that's going to change things? Well, guess what? Whoever robbed the house, now he didn't rob the house. How much of a butterfly effect is that?
Right.
I think it helps if they give you the moment where he's actively trying not to disrupt the timeline too much. And by even doing the can, yes, he does. But, you know, it's just like you just need one line where they're like, no, I'm not going to sit there and wait around and, you know, I'm a superhero. I can kill whoever kills my mom. He's like, all right, let me just do this one thing and then maybe that won't do it. But you're right. From what we are given on the screen, you're like, all right, that's it? That's all you're going to do?
Just go back and lock the doors. Go back and lock the doors. There's a throwaway line about the guy just coming into the house and it being unlocked and his father not being there. Go back and lock the doors. Yeah. Fuck the can. Fuck the tomatoes. Fuck all that stuff.
Or
just
drop
go back
off
and lock
10
the
pizzas and be like, you don't have to cook tonight, Mom.
Sure. let's talk for a bit about this idea of what happens, this time travel multiverse, this idea over spaghetti with Michael Keaton, who, phenomenal.
He got me back into the movie because he was from the baby sequence early on, which I thought was just a little too cartoony on the tone, to that sequence where he explains the multiverse, not just moving forward and backwards, but explain it, Ian, because I thought it was actually really good way to talk about how...
It's an interesting idea. The statement is, so time isn't linear, so it's more than just you change something and everything forward changes. Since time isn't linear, changing something just changes it in both directions. So there's no telling what level of change you have. A la, suddenly you have a Batman who's older and looks completely different.
And is from a timeline that didn't exist in the Snyderverse, which originated
as an older person. Things are so different that, you know, and yet that different with Gotham, but things are mostly the same in Barry's world, other than obviously the life he had, but everything else is more or less the same, it seems. It's very pick and choose weird. And yet change at such a level that we actually is Kara Zor-El, much less that she ended up on Earth and Zod found Kal-El's ship.
But Kara is hinted at in the first Snyder Man of Steel movie. Her spaceship going down is hinted at in that movie.
Her spaceship going down?
They've kind of retconned. Are you referencing the
old ship that I was always disappointed they didn't do more with?
Yeah.
Because the scout ship that, you know, I felt they were setting things up very Supreme Power Straczynski's take on the Squadron Supreme, as if everything flows from Kryptonians. And I thought the idea of the 20,000 years before Kryptonians, it seemed like they were sort of setting up Atlanteans and Amazons coming from the Kryptonians. And they
that was confirmed a few months ago. They at like I think it was called SnyderCon or whatever it was.
Wait, that exists?
There was a thing a few months ago where they had
which Discord is that held on?
I don't want to know.
It exists in the frontal lobe of thousands.
But they had
is that one of those Reddits that you have to pay for now?
they had a screening, and afterwards they had like a Q&A, and they basically said that the idea was that basically everything was going to come, like gods and all that, were going to come from the Kryptonians and things like that. They were going to tie it together.
The biggest tragedy that James Gunn reset is that we're going to lose SnyderCon. Like, that has to keep going. Those kids
we're
need
talking
something
about
to
Rebel
do.
Moon, baby. We're going to talk about
Rebel Moon. Looks fun.
Yes, yeah, SnyderCon doesn't go anywhere because SnyderCon isn't about making more of those movies.
Rebel Moon looks cool. Real quick, Jim Paganelli. We were talking about all the different Supermans. Jim Paganelli says they would have gotten Dean Cain, but he was too busy making God's Not Dead 6. And then Heidi, my beautiful wife, says the babies were a bit cartoony. I have a problem with the tone. Yes. It took a while for me to get out of that tone.
I agree with her that the tone was cartoony, but the babies themselves couldn't have looked less realistic. It was a cool sequence, but I'm like, those don't even look remotely like babies. Those look like cartoons. And I was just like, I don't know. They had all this time to make this movie. They have Warner
and
Brothers.
And Weta was in the credits.
Yeah. And I was just like, all right, this is what they're giving us. These, they look like the baby from Roger Rabbit, more like an actual.
That's what I was gonna say, they're baby Louie. And then Justin made the comment. He goes, "Do the Flash go back in time and hire 1998 Weta to do the effects?" Like, because this Weta did those if they did those babies, oof, yeah.
I did like when he first starts running in Century City, like the idea of like him zipping in that way. I thought it looked really cool. But then afterwards, I've heard like all the cameos that they did within that Speed Force were intentionally sort of cartoony that way. But yeah, the babies was a bit of weak sauce.
I just wanted to backtrack to Keaton for a second. Do we all think that he is Batman 1989 Batman, or is he a different Batman in any of your minds that just happens to be played by Michael Keaton? Because to me, it was Batman 1989, but as I started to think about it, I'm like,
it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, this is what's wrong with this movie's version, because this movie is sort of saying that the multiverse, as we generally know it, as this giant different, you know, like the way Marvel does it, and all these, it already exists, you know, and it's out there, versus this movie sort of created it and then shut it down. And that's a mess. And it's particularly a mess when you actually had Ezra Miller appear in the crisis that they did in the Arrowverse. So they already called it out. So it's like, literally, it's completely contradicting that.
I would love to see any of the CW actors. And then Heidi had a great point. She's like, where's Linda Carter's cameo?
Amen.
Yes. Well, that's just it. Look, I mean,
because they didn't want anybody that was alive.
But Nicolas Cage is alive, sir.
Well, but
there's alive, and then there's alive.
He's beyond alive.
By the way, Guggenheim, that crisis, I mean, it was set in the Arrowverse for the most part, but you know, it was really well done. You got a lot of great cameos from outside the Arrowverse in it.
I think that's still the superior crisis.
Not even a question. And it allows for the idea of a multiverse of different Earths, which the Arrowverse already had. You know, it even ends with smashing a couple together so that you now have Supergirl on the same planet, on the same Earth, you know, whereas initially they didn't have it. I mean, they even did a Brave and the Bold episode, you know, where it was, it was the World's Finest episode.
Because Supergirl started as a CBS show. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But still in the Arrowverse.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's sort of like that was problematic for me. So coming back to the comment about, you know, is this 89 Batman? I mean, they go out of their way with the Batmobile, with the Joker, you know.
Reference, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's in every way it's there, and yet it just doesn't actually make sense. Mm-hmm. And for me, honestly.
Ian, why does it not make sense? Why can't this be the Burton Batman?
Because it doesn't still exist. It didn't exist before, and it doesn't exist afterwards. This isn't a true multiverse. It's right. Like he did this thing and these possibilities are generating from what he did.
And then
seemingly fixed it. So, I mean, look, you can argue at the end, did he fix it? Did it all go away? Is it still just out there as a multiverse the way we now know it? I'm not sure. Does anyone have an opinion? So you can argue, yes, it did. And since the time, it doesn't work linearly, so it goes back. So then that exists, that reality exists. In that version, he died in it, but there can be a version where he didn't, you know? The plan was this. Walter Hamada's
In which Michael Keaton's Batman dies, yes.
So Walter Hamada's plan with this movie was there's a cut that exists that at the end, on the steps, Michael Keaton's there and Supergirl.
And they don't die in the Zod.
That's right. Snyderverse. They don't die and they're there at the end.
That'd be beautiful.
That was the original cut. And then in reshoots, they put Clark in as one of the reporters.
Henry Cavill's Clark.
Henry Cavill, yes.
Yes.
And I believe from what I've heard, Diana also shows up there.
Wow. And the one we got was the one that...
I would have loved that.
The one that I got that we got was the one that I heard the only rumor that I had spoiled for me. And I then dismissed it because I never heard it again was we get George Clooney's Batman back. And that got a little bit of a pop for the audience.
You heard that rumor from me.
I heard it from you. I believe I heard that rumor from you. And that was George Clooney. And I was like, really? That's one of the most derided movies ever in superhero movies.
The movie's not
and
good. That's the Clooney, bad nipples, it's cool to have the, Clooney, but why?
But now we have Clooney going forward into Brave and the Bold is what I've also heard.
We don't know. So I've heard it both ways. I heard it's not definitive that it'll be Clooney and Brave and the Bold, but just that he's in this.
But they already have a Robin. Why not? There's a Robin in that universe. There's a Batgirl in that universe. And now why not have a Damian Wayne on top of it?
Sure, but do you really want... See, personally, even if they use Clooney, it doesn't mean they have to use Chris O'Donnell as Nightwing.
And Schwarzenegger. It's in the contract.
Just saying.
My takeaway from the final scene with Aquaman was that Barry then went and fixed whatever made Clooney
I was just
going to
say the same
because
thing.
Because he starts talking about... Yes. Well, there's all these other Batman... That
explain
are,
that to me. Yeah. I don't think that's... I think that that is still the George Clooney Batman.
You can debate that. Yeah. I agree. That was my takeaway, that the Batman that Momoa and he had always known was fixed. There just were all these Batmans. I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to discuss that.
Explain to the audience who may not be listening but not watch the movie. Like the mid-credit scene is Jason Momoa Aquaman.
Look, I want to say
he's
something
got a
right
movie
now.
Coming out November.
No.
And the Flash walking.
I have to interrupt you. I am not explaining anything for people that are watching this and didn't see the movie. That's just
okay,
sounds silly
that.
To me.
Okay, but you get it, right? Like,
but be
like
lost.
But we saw that moments after we saw George Clooney step out as the Bruce, and he looks at Barry and he goes, "What's wrong with you, man? I'm always been the Bruce."
So I
how is that not the same universe?
You could interpret what he said to Aquaman as there were all these different Batmans, as if now it's afterwards. We're not getting that sequel, but it all got fixed. You could also interpret it as, yeah, there are all these different Batmans, but in that universe, the one that Momoa always knew could have been Clooney.
And I thought that was I thought
so that's therefore, just because Barry says that doesn't mean he did anything to change it.
Yeah, I thought it was Clooney. When they're talking about Batman and Bruce in that scene walking drunk down the hallway or down the alley or whatever with Momoa, it's a funny scene. Look, I think that it's Clooney's Bruce, and that's the only one Momoa's known.
It comes down to this. Here's the frustrating
thing. We'll find out in the Aquaman sequel.
What's frustrating? Yes, actually, from what I've heard, that's true.
That George Clooney shows up in the Aquaman sequel?
Well, no. What I'd heard was Keaton had shot something for it. Then Affleck came and shot something.
For
and
the
I don't
Aquaman
know
2.
Who, I don't, in Aquaman 2. And now I don't know who's in it.
Val Kilmer.
It won't be Kilmer, and that's fucked up.
What? Why not? They CGI'd freaking like Christopher Reeves in this shit.
Well,
because he's still alive, but he can't talk. So, you know.
Well, his son can do it. Did you watch that documentary? His son sounds just like him.
Hey. Documentary. Was
so anyway. We could just do things that aren't before the year 1993, 94. You know, that's also an option.
Garrett, just because you weren't alive doesn't mean who can't. That stuff has to be dismissed. Okay, pal?
Oh, I like that stuff, but there's also, it's the year 2023, and we don't need mannequins. As much as I respect the artist that did it, and I know filmmaking is not easy.
I'm going to have to disagree with Garrett. We need Mannequin, but we don't need Mannequin 2 on the move. Mannequin, yes. Mannequin 2, no.
The soundtrack went
just get
downhill.
Kim Cattrall on this movie?
Kim Cattrall was a Mannequin joke. Geekscape is for like, do I need to be listening to $2 late fee on the Geekscape Network to get these references?
But listen,
go ahead.
I'm still stuck on Mannequin.
But it's a mixed bag, guys. Like guys, I thought that the Barry Zoom scene at the end was beautiful. And that was the Ezra Miller really acting. That was great. It was beautiful acting. I thought it was a beautiful part of the movie. I thought
even though it didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense, but I thought it was awesome.
Listen. I want to come back to what I was saying before.
The crisis stuff was awesome.
Which is, you know, Hamada's idea was a great idea with this movie to reset things. And what's really unfortunate is guns coming in, the timing's terrible. If Gunn had already cast his Batman and all that, then this movie sets it up. And now we're left with this mess. And ending the way they did, listen, I get the whole idea. Don't put Cavill in. Don't promise something that you're not going to get. But it's messy now. Throwing Clooney in. Here's the thing. It's great if it is Clooney, but it's confusing as fuck if it isn't.
Yeah.
And let's be honest. I think you can do Batman and Son with a Batman who's 40. Okay, shit, Damien at 10, you can do Batman with a Batman that's 35, which is what I think is likely. It isn't going to be with a Batman who's 60.
A 10-year-old that has been trained as a ninja? Yeah.
Yes.
Is Marvel facing the same problem with the Fantastic Four?
Well,
where it's like, we don't want to promise something that we can't deliver on, so like they can really pick anybody as Reed and Sue, Reed at this point, even though we've seen
her. It's not going to be Krasinski.
Right.
It's not. That was a fun thing. I mean, listen, you know, my take on Doctor Strange is they gave us that. They could have given us so much more. The rumored Tom Cruise's Iron Man was worth doing. Mm-hmm. Would have been great. You know, there should have been, I mean, for me, I was disappointed in that movie because there just wasn't enough to it.
Right.
You know,
Chris Evans, Hydra Cap. Yeah. All that stuff.
They absolutely should have done that because I think they're setting it up and they would have lost nothing for throwing it in there for a minute. In mm-hmm. fact, it'll make it better later. Because if they just do it out of nowhere in New World Order, it's like, okay, huh?
So, the situation here at DC, how is that a disappointment? They really can go anywhere after this Flash movie, don't you think? I mean, I know they got Blue Beetle and the Aquaman 2 on the docket, but like, can't they just go anywhere with this? Like, they don't have to stick to the Clooney. They don't have to stick to this. They don't, you know.
Well, what's your argument? Why is it suddenly someone different? This would have actually been an in-universe explanation for why things are different.
Mm-hmm.
And now, unless it's Clooney, it isn't.
I think whatever the plans were for this movie before it was released, they're definitely on hold because what the reception was. So there could have been a plan. Sure, we're going to put Clooney in there. And, you know, of course, there's no mention of, like, you know, Pattinson or nobody gave Christian Bale $1 billion, you know, to try and get him to show up for a second. You know,
he swore if it wasn't Nolan, he's not doing it.
Right.
And it wasn't Nolan. So he's not doing it.
So, you know, I just
thought they could have done it without showing him, you know, I mean, there was ways to do it.
Yeah. I think it was just a gag and they thought it was funny. And the reason it was Clooney is because nobody really likes that movie, you know? And, you know, I guess
it was a gag.
Yeah. It was a gag.
Cool. Another one.
And a movie that had a lot of gags. So,
yeah.
But.
And that's also, all it's going to be.
I heard they had shot a tag with Affleck about like, he's still out there and Barry find me. And they dropped that also.
Hmm. What other things were shot? Garrett knows a lot of this stuff too. What other stuff was shot and we didn't actually get fulfilled here in this cut? Cause there were a lot of cuts to this movie, I'm guessing.
Well, the crisis thing was like that Ian just mentioned, the way I had heard it was that it was a crisis teaser of him, you know, saying, come find me. And and this is public knowledge, there's a lot of documents from Warner Brothers that have said that they were going to do, Walter Hamada's big plan was crisis. That was what he was building towards. That's why this movie was so multiversal. And I think I had read even more recently over this weekend, the plan was this movie, a sequel, and then we're going to do Crisis. And, he was getting his ducks in a row. But as far as other things that were considered, that was the last that I had heard of was the building to a crisis, basically.
And you know what? This movie doesn't definitively mean that it wouldn't have worked. Because if Hamada hadn't, you know, been ousted with Gunn coming in and all that, I mean, there's no telling how much the knowledge of that hurt this movie.
Right, knowing that this movie may quote unquote not matter. That being said, being a multiverse movie and showing glimpses of all these different possibilities, I think if anything, it makes this movie definitely matter and fun. And I enjoy what this movie did, and would have been cool again to see some of the CW characters or animated properties in the same way that Spider-Verse celebrated some of the live action stuff in that second movie. Like, that would have been awesome. And seeing a little bit of the Suicide Squad or Peacemaker or some of the successes from Warner Brothers hinted in some of those multiverse things would have been awesome. I mean, Peacemaker takes place in the Snyderverse because we learned that at the end of the first season mm-hmm. as Peacemaker when Snyder's Justice League shows up. Well, with two of the Justice League actors, including Ezra Miller and Jason Momoa.
Well, we've always known it was Snyderverse because Suicide Squad, you know, first Suicide Squad, you have Batman and Flash, and then mm-hmm. obviously, the second Suicide Squad is referencing the Justice League.
It has Waller in it.
And, you know, and that's what Peacemaker comes out of. So, yeah, there was never a question that it's part of that.
Garrett sent me this amazing, sent us this interesting thing with Peacemaker being so popular. And, of course, there's a Waller series coming to James Gunn's plan. And then a Peacemaker 2, just because that popularity is so big. Like a big guy in a truck outside. Everybody, a man just went, a real man just went past my window. With Peacemaker 2, there's a story of what happened at the end of the first crisis back in the 80s, where the character Psycho Pirate, even though the universe has been reset, still remembers the crisis and remembers the way things were before. And Garrett, you sent that article, if you can explain, where maybe they do that with Peacemaker.
Yeah, I saw Owen Likes Comics on Twitter. He has a YouTube channel. It's great if you love comic book movies. He really deep dives into the history of things and explains a lot of things, especially one of my favorite things, Ultimate Marvel. He covers that quite a bit. But he basically, he was retweeting these things that people were saying, like maybe possibly once we get the reset, you know, because basically James Gunn had said it will make sense why Peacemaker is still a thing, even if we are closing the lid on the DCEU. And someone brought up the fact that I don't think it ever fully went through, but Keith Giffen, you know, famous comic book legend, he had the idea of Peacemaker being one of the people that remembers that everything before Crisis on Infinite Earths, that he knew that there was a multiverse before they all kind of got smushed into one world. And then those ideas were kind of later given to the character Psycho Pirate, who plays a big part in basically every crisis. And so I think that would be perfect, you know, especially because the character is a conspiracy theorist. So, you know, everyone can hand wave that off. And he's the only person that genuinely, you know, if we have a new Aquaman, we have Wally West as the Flash, something crazy like that, he can be the person to be like, I literally was in a field with these two guys and they were completely different people and no one believes them. That would be a fun thing to do.
I agree. That would be fun.
With Momoa's Aquaman, though, coming out in November, the sequel, like, are we getting a new Aquaman? Like, that's one thing that this movie, I don't think we're getting a hard reset on the DC.
Well, by the way, because
some of this stuff might carry over.
At one point, Aquaman was supposed to come before this, and that's right. Another thing that's a mess.
That's why they reshot Michael Keaton's scene with Ben Affleck, and they had to publicly announce that because Ben Affleck was just walking around on the lot, and fans saw him, and so Momoa had to tell on Instagram, oh, he's back. And then they changed the release dates again, and so that scene, again, didn't make any sense. So
now it's just reshooting. That's
what I don't know who's in it. I don't know what they did now.
I think maybe no one at this point.
Yeah, I think they just cut it. Yeah.
Guys, I know that it was a tepid response at the box office. And again, I like this movie, Geekscapists. If you could, you know, I think if you're a comic book fan, you should see it just for the spectacle of it, the celebration.
It's
a fun movie.
I'm telling everyone, it's worth seeing.
I really liked it. As you know, I will say my least favorite stuff was the multiverse stuff. It's the same thing that happened to the comic 10 years ago, the comic Flashpoint, or 10 plus years ago. The comic Flashpoint was just supposed to be a story arc. And then it got turned into, oh, well, we can use this to reboot the universe. And I think that's the weakest part of the book, is that even in the book, funny enough, history repeats itself. The ending of the book makes no sense because everything resets. And Barry Allen has this letter from Bruce Wayne's father, Thomas Wayne. He gives it to him. They're wearing their new 52 designs, but it makes no sense because it makes no sense within the new 52 universe that they would establish. But
yes,
for me,
they don't know each other yet, all that.
Exactly. And so for me, multiverse stuff aside, that stuff just, you know, I get the intent. I do love me some Easter eggs, love me some cameos. I love that stuff. But that stuff for me, just it did not click. It didn't work. And I was, you know, I'm someone who is I love Superman, but, you know, I didn't feel anything seeing them on screen. But all that said, I am someone who is so incredibly close with my mom, you know, and this like the second, you know, every Flash story that involves Barry Allen, I'm a Wally West guy. But anytime Barry Allen stories are dealing with his relationship with Nora Allen, I like that final scene in the grocery store is incredibly great. Beautiful. Awesome. It is one of the best comic book scenes in a comic book movie of the decade so far. And I loved the clash between the two Barrys, that our Barry that we're used to was forced to be the straight man. As you know, we've only gotten him in comedic moments. He was forced to be the straight man with his younger self, and how he had to accept, you know, that he had to grow up. And so it may seem like I'm being kind of cynical, but I really, really like when this movie got to just be a Flash movie, I thought it was incredible. I loved so much of it.
I actually loved the thing about it. He finally gets how everyone feels about dealing with him. It's
hysterical. Yeah. That being said, this isn't a hard reset, guys. I am honestly thinking that, and Ian, maybe you've heard different. Maybe you guys have heard different. No. I think that this is a soft reset into the James Gunn universe. No, I think no he can. I think he can pick and choose what he wants to keep. I think he can come back to anything at any time. He can come back to anything at any time.
Yeah.
Look, this doesn't mean a recast of Diana. This clearly isn't a recast of Aquaman.
First of all, with everything with Patty Jenkins, I think that there was no conversation about Gal Gadot because they knew they still had two movies coming out with her in it this year.
This one, the second Shazam, yeah.
Yeah. So as for what happens with her now, by the way, odds are she's out because she's just too expensive. And that's
I'd love to see the Supergirl again.
But the big deal about Cavill, Affleck, and Gadot very much is they're expensive. They don't want to spend the money. They want to reset the thing and do it cheaper. Certainly from where they already have these established actors doing it, and they're expensive, you know?
What about Jesse Eisenberg?
I doubt it. But, you know, I think he probably goes out with Cavill. But you know, it's not for me to say. I think if they're going younger with, you know, Superman, you know, I mean, yeah. Luthor.
They're supposed to be testing Lex Luthor's in a few weeks.
I've heard that.
Get in there, Ian.
Get ready to shave your head.
Get in there, Ian.
Garrett, sorry. Garrett, get ready to shave your head.
Show me an agent.
You're playing Jason Todd.
What I was going to say was Jason that Todd. For me, the movie is best when it's the two Barrys, when it is Barry's story. I love all the other stuff. I have no complaints about, especially the Nicolas Cage thing was one of the most mind-blowing things in my life, that he's the giant spider is there. I'm like, all right, come on. You know, but it works best. And I agree that the scene of Barry in the supermarket with his mom is like, oh, this is like the best stuff in the whole movie. You know, and just watching that interaction, I thought was fantastic. So I think that the Flash stuff is the strongest stuff in the movie. And I do agree that it's definitely overly silly at times in the early part. But, you know, and any time that we can visit another reality where Eric Stoltz was Marty McFly, I always embrace that.
They did that on Fringe.
Yeah, well, they shot for like three weeks. Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, they had to recast the girlfriend because she was too much taller than Michael J. Fox. So I just sort of love little stuff like that. And, you know, I had fun with it. As I mentioned to Jonathan and Garrett, my wife fell asleep. We didn't go to too late of a screening. We went at 9 o'clock, and right when they get to Siberia, wherever that was, she's like, "Yeah, I'm out." And
it was Red Sun.
Yeah, she came back. Russia didn't seem like fun. She came back for the end, but she.
And Heidi says, as a woman, I loved. It meant a lot to see Kara Zor-El. I would love to see that character again. Out of anybody in this movie, I'd love to see Kara Zor-El.
No, again. I think she was great. But now my wife, whom I often reference her opinion on these things, because my wife writes genre, she writes TV and movies, but she's not devoted to the fan stuff the way I am, the way all of us are. So she just goes in and looks at the movie, and she felt the movie was a bit bloated, that she felt strongly Supergirl was unnecessary and added 20 minutes to half hour that would have made it a sleeker movie. Now, as fans, because of Flashpoint, what they did with Supergirl, they turned it a little bit, but it's basically the Superman version of Flashpoint. So for us, I'm like, okay, makes it that much more Flashpoint. But other than that, I mean, I see her point. How horrible would it have been if it was just Batman and the Flashes having to fight Zod without any Kryptonian, you know?
It's Batman Beyond at this point.
But here's the thing is, you know, he's already gotten Kal-El. If Kal-El did have the Kryptonian matrix in him, then they just have to fight him and stop him from
enacting.
Getting the whole thing started. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's right. That works. And it's streamlined.
Yeah, you know? But it's also a lot of dudes.
Well, it's a lot of dudes. And also, again, the point was they were launching her off of this movie. And then they went the other way. But that was the plan. And by the way, just because
they wanted to make a solo Supergirl movie after this?
Or the idea after this was she's established as Supergirl. And they're going to do Supergirl. That was the
plan. I would still love to see that.
And by the way, and they still can. Because she's a version of Supergirl that just because she died in this doesn't mean she doesn't exist out there. So it's still an option. Unfortunately, I think that the movie not doing well means they throw it out.
What about this Batgirl movie, guys? Like this, but this thing, but, this thing that they threw in the trash for a tax write-off, supposedly. Like,
yes,
like there's more screenshots that that Garrett sent to us, and
there's buzz that it may, some version of it may end up out there. But at the same time, you know what? I mean, the reason they got rid of it, if they put it out anyway, money wise, they fucked themselves.
But I mean, Brendan Fraser loves his performance as Firefly in this movie. Brendan Fraser loves his performance.
What everyone said, Michael Keaton's
in it as Bruce.
They've said the casting wise, they have no issues with it, and they intend to work with the filmmakers again. You know, they intend to work with the actress that played Batgirl, and she can still be Batgirl.
Jennifer Zhang is like, who's a pretty kick ass woman herself, says, "I'm certain that movie was bad," and that ultimately that was the reason we're not going to see Batgirl.
And yes, and the bottom line is, in that moment, they were making it for streaming. And when Zaslav said, "We don't want to do that plan doesn't work for us anymore," and the movie wasn't good enough to be a theatrical movie. And that makes sense, that it played like a CW show.
So,
and
guys,
that's not what they want going forward. And that does make sense, as frustrated as I am.
Garrett didn't have the chance to live in this era, and maybe in a multiverse Garrett can go back, but that movie seemed primed for like a 1989 to era 1996 comic book convention in the basement of like the Four Seasons or the Hyatt by the freeway, and getting that Batgirl on VHS the same way that we did with our version of Roger Corman's Fantastic Four and the Children of the Atom cartoon and all these fan film, like these holy grails of, I'm going to a comic convention and I heard there's a Fantastic Four live action movie and I gotta leave that comic convention with a VHS of it. That is what this Batgirl is to me now. It's like, I want to find a VHS. It's like a VHS. I want to see a version of this movie in the same way, like back in the early 90s, we were not happy leaving a comic convention at the local, you know, Holiday Inn unless we had a VHS of the Children of the Atom animated movie. Animated mini movie, because it's like, oh my god, they made an X-Men cartoon.
I bought a copy of the FF for a friend.
Same as Ian. I spent my entire budget on two VHS cassettes. So I spent $40, $20 for Roger Corman Fantastic Four, $20 for Star Wars Holiday Special, and I don't regret those investments because I would have never seen them, in my life. And here's my hot take, by the way, the Roger Corman Fantastic Four, still to this day, the best version of the Fantastic Four we've had on screen.
It's very clear that is a Kirby and Lee version of the Fantastic Four.
Is it cheesy?
More so than
anything. Yes, but it's true to the comic.
And Geekscapists who are listening to this, if you want to see more of that, go and Google on the Geekscape feed. I had the entire cast do a special together on a Geekscape back in, I would say, 2013, 2012. The entire cast sat down on the Geekscape. Hmm. And Carlos Cierfalio, who played the Thing, and is also Bluntman in Mallrats and went through the wall and all that stuff. He was Kevin Smith's stunt double in that. Carl put the whole cast together for me, minus Johnny Storm, and they did a Geekscape together with me in the studio, and it's one of my favorite Geekscapes. And I forget how amazing some of these episodes have been of Geekscape, and I'll pat myself on the back. But if you want to know more Roger Corman Fantastic Four and some really amazing stories from the set, that is a Geekscape that is there for you on the feed. And you can see it on YouTube, but it's just not the same as like coming back as a kid from a convention and being like, I'm popping this in the VHS because it's the only live action Fantastic Four I'm ever going to see, possibly.
Garrett, what about the Justice League pilot?
The Justice League pilot or the Generation X movie. That aired on TV.
I remember that.
And a friend of mine was in it. Okay.
Garrett, we want these things for you.
Oh boy, is that
with weird. That weird Adam suit and that was terrible.
David
and the Martian
Robbins
Manhunter
Spears as the Martian Manhunter.
Garrett, we want these for you. We want you to go to Comic-Con this summer with us, you as our guest, and your whole mission is to find the Batgirl movie that it will never be released officially by DC.
We'll see. Warner Brothers. Now it would be like
you're gonna fight it on a VHS. Now it's just going to send you to like a website.
You'll get like a piece of, someone will hand you like a piece of paper that you pick up, and it'll have a QR code taking you still to the site that asks your age.
It should still have scan lines in it, like a VHS dub, though. Or else the texture was everything. And being like, oh, this copy's pretty crappy, but I can see Johnny Storm next to the thing, and I'll take that. Guys, this episode has been so much fun. I got to tell you, Ian, I love having one-on-ones with you. But what do you think about these Garrett and Christian? Like, I love these guys.
I've said to you before, I'm down, you know, to, I'm always happy. Listen, I like doing this because it's fun just to talk about it.
You know? I love you guys. This is so much fun. And guys, any final thoughts on The Flash? Like there's so much to talk about here.
It's a movie worth seeing, but it's certainly not the greatest comic movie of all time. I mean, and honestly, can we just say that, you know, as a lot of people are saying
that
now,
Spin?
It was really unfortunate. Zaslav, I get it. Gunn knows better. Mm-hmm. He should not have done that. And it's a bad look because, you know, the movie fails and this is the new regime that's going like, oh, well it failed. And that's what you do. And you blame the guy before. If it succeeded, then how was that good for Gunn? It isn't right. Good for Gunn if it succeeded. So it's amazing to me that he did that he said that because, you know, it's just like him sitting on Twitter all the time and answering people. Dude, stop.
Yeah. I mean, he put out a better movie only 6 weeks ago, you know? So,
Tim Story in the Fantastic Four, like the reason Tim Story did the Fantastic Four was a regime change over at Fox. And before that, it was going to be Peyton Reed for a long time. Remember that? Like Peyton Reed was going to do Fantastic Four at Fox. He was going to make it a cool era film in the 60s or whatever, and this is right around the time he said Goodbye to Love or whatever that movie is with Ewan McGregor and Reese Witherspoon. And it was in watching that movie is like, oh cool, if this is the flavor of the Fantastic Four, this is going to be really cool. And then regime change at Fox, in comes Tim Story, who delivered a hit for the studio in Barbershop and has a new take on Fantastic Four, and the rest is history. We never got Peyton Reed's Fantastic Four. We got his Ant-Man. Those first two Ant-Man movies were a lot of fun, and we trust him with Fantastic Four, which he ended up, I guess, not doing. But wow, like these regime changes, they do change stuff. If anything, the James Gunn endorsement of this movie, to me, it felt like faith in the brand. And I liked that he said that in saying, again, I think he's going to pick and choose from this era of the DCEU, and he's going to bring some of this stuff forward.
We'll see.
And he has to have faith in it. Here in the comments, we got Jason Elliott in Texas saying, Shazam may be part of Gunn's plans. I enjoyed that last Shazam movie. I like the Zach Levi depiction of Shazam. I think they're fun movies. And obviously, we had him recruited into some version of the JSA in the tag on Shazam 2. And that is Peacemaker characters recruiting him. For Waller, you know, there's all sorts of weird stuff going forward. What do we see going forward, guys, out of this movie? And then, of course, there's Blue Beetle and there's Aquaman still.
You know, there's a quality to this movie, though, where it's almost like, you know, you fall behind on your TV and on your DVR, you have like 6 episodes of a TV show and then it gets canceled before episode 7 airs. And you're like, oh, do I even want to watch that? Yeah, I guess. Yeah. People said it was good.
That's exactly right.
And I felt, I'm glad I saw it because I think it was fun. It was a good movie. But you just feel like, well, it kind of doesn't matter. And I know we've said that already. Right. In the episode, I enjoyed it, but I don't think that this has anything to do with what comes. But yeah, you might see Jason Momoa again. There's talk that he's going to be Lobo the next time we see him. I mean, after Aquaman 2, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. So,
I do think Ezra Miller's problems being what they were, and you know, you can debate is it different than Jonathan Majors? I mean, I think that, you know, Ezra Miller clearly had been off their meds, whatever else, but. Let's not kid ourselves. Would have been canceled, would have been reshot the scenes if they weren't the entire movie, you know? And there's a lot of people out there, and I was surprised to hear from a lot of people who are fanboys, fangirls, who are like, people that work in comic book stores were not going to see this movie. We're boycotting this movie because of Ezra Miller. And, you know, I can't speak to what the numbers are there, but I can tell you it was part of it. The a million screenings they did, also an issue, especially since it wasn't as strong as they said it was. And there's some word of mouth there too, you know, but they made a lot of mistakes. You know, some of them weren't their fault, like Ezra Miller's problems, but a lot of mistakes were made.
In the strike. The strike hurt the ability to show up on late night TV this movie.
But also people, you know, I mean, look, Keaton, the excuse that Keaton couldn't because he's shooting Beatles 2, it's another Warner Brothers movie. It's not, that's a bullshit excuse. A lot of people are saying that the idea that no one wanted to comment on Ezra Miller was a reason to not have him do it because it was uncomfortable. So, you know, it was always unfortunate.
And seeing that the box office is not good, What does Marvel learn from this going into Loki season two and the Jonathan
Well, the good news for Marvel is Loki may have a lot of the same issues, but it's TV. So, you know, people will watch it. They'll see what the ratings are. You know, we'll see how much that matters. The bigger question is, I mean, I know people going like Marvel needs to get away from multiverse and people are already burnt on it. You know, I mean, I was worried about, you know, I mean, how many versions of multiverse movies are we going to get? Is there going to be an appetite for, you know, Infinity War and, you know,
Kang, because that's basically what Secret War is.
Yeah.
Is some version of a crisis event, you know, all of these different universes getting smushed together in Marvel Universe.
Now, I think that can be much more interesting, that they might actually finally do what Doctor Strange and this didn't do, you know, but we'll see.
Yeah. And, you know, they're talking about Sam Raimi, director.
Here's the thing. My personal prediction, I've told you this before. I think we get Evans back as a Hydra Cap before then. But I think that in some way, at least for those movies, we get Evans and Downey back. And whereas that would have been a big surprise, I bet that they actually let it leak before to get interest in those movies going.
Because the Michael Keaton stuff was the loudest stuff in the marketing for this movie.
And it needed to be, but you know, that is the, listen, it's like with Garrett, it's too old. It wasn't enough to get people there. You know?
Garrett has no appreciation for his elders.
But I have
appreciation.
Downey and Evans coming back is enough to get people back to Marvel movies.
Yeah. All right, guys. This was an awesome episode. This little multiverse here on Geekscape was pretty fucking awesome. I really enjoyed talking Flash with you guys. This is a blast. This is a blast. You can catch Garrett on every couple of months. He starts a new podcast on the network, and it does about three episodes. And then calls it a day. No, Garrett will pop up from time to time. Ian and I are going to catch up next on. I think we got the Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion starts in a couple days. This week,
yes. Is getting some tepid responses so far in the reviews, but. You know, I miss some of the Marvel people.
Episode one drops Wednesday.
Woo! That's less than 2 days of our recording right now.
Is it six episodes?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yes, it's six episodes. And for people that want to talk about Secret Invasion right away, our show that is now graciously a part of the Geekscape family, Marvel Movie Talk, even though the name implies otherwise. We also talk TV. We'll be doing like a episode by episode recap, like an after show, starting this Wednesday. And also this week, my other show, Geekscape Book Club, appropriately enough, we're going to talk about Flashpoint, which I believe Garrett is also holding his copy right
here. I have issue 5 right here.
Yeah, I have the trade paperback. I'm a TPB kind of guy, but
as am I.
Guys, this warms my heart.
At least you didn't call it a graphic novel.
My heart is very, very, very cold, and y'all have actually warmed it. I love this. I love this multiverse that we have here at Geekscape, and the fact that you guys are going to be talking. So, Geekscape, if this wasn't enough for you, go over and check out Marvel Movie Talk. Go check out the Geekscape Book Club, and of course, you can follow Garrett and Christian, and you can find Ian. You can find them all on Twitter. You can find them hanging out on the Geekscape Forever Facebook page and in group. That stuff's always fun. And just search Geekscape. You'll be a part of this multiverse easily. I can't wait. Next week, I think I'm working on a fun guest. And of course, Comic-Con, guys, that thing is bearing down on us fast. And I'm excited to be a part of it with you Geekscapists. All right, Ian, we got some Secret Invasion coming up. And if you can't wait for Ian and I to talk about it.
Blue Beetle coming up, I guess.
Christian's got it. Yeah, Blue Beetle's coming up.
I guess.
Guys, oh no, we're doing a Blue Beetle. We're doing Blue Beetle for sure. I'm excited.
Blue Beetle looks fun, but I don't know if anyone's going to be interested in seeing it.
I know, but I'll be interested in seeing it.
Oh, I'm going to go. Of course I'm going to go.
As a Latino, it's important to me. I mean, I saw Flamin' Hot. That's not part of any multiverse, but it was important for me to watch it.
Because it looks like a fun movie, and I'm a comic fanboy. You know, I want to see it. You know, it looks fun.
All right, Geekscapists. We will talk to you next time. Thanks for being a part of this, and share it with your friends. Love you guys. Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.